We're back. Sue Lloyd, Scott, Jason, the gang. We had to revert to one central mic because, a little bit of technical problems here and there, but we're getting the gang in here, and that's the way we like it. The more thoughts, the more senses of what's going on, the better we learn how to share. And as far as I'm concerned, sharing is absolutely everything, whether it's Sue over there sharing herself with young fellows who need the mom, who need the love and need the affection, or it's you putting yourself in the shoes of a blind fellow and trying to learn that life. We're all finding ways to share in each other's lives, and I think that's a big, big secret here. So we share the burdens. We've gone from, step one, where we admitted there was something wrong, maybe. Something we couldn't get a handle on, something that we don't seem to be able to get any answers. We moved into step two, phase two, February, where we determined there could be something. And that's all it says for us in step two, is that we came to believe. Now, I don't describe that belief or anything else. Some of us do, but many of us don't. And now we're saying, we've got some confidence. We've fallen in love with this entity that we believe somehow gives us or makes us feel that we can take part in some power, which we have learned we don't seem to have much of on our own. And now we're going to turn things over. And how do we do that? How do we turn things over to somebody who, in many cases, we haven't known long? And although in other cases we may have, like in my case, I knew God long before I got involved in the 12-step stuff. So it was a bit of a different experience than I notice in a lot of people, because I find people come into 12-step for whatever reason, and then over a period of time they find a solid relationship with their sense of God. That's why we say God of your own understanding. You close your eyes, what you conceive of as God is, it can't be what I conceive of, because even if we could look at God, it was the same God, we could prove it. I don't know what that looks like to you. Even when we look at Sue there, I know what she looks like to me, you know what she looks like to you, but I don't know what she looks like to you, and you don't know what she looks like to me. So there's no conception that's equal or the same. So that's a very fair thing when people see, and you want to conceive folks of the Almighty or whatever you believe in as something very, very real and very, very special and very unique to yourself. So I think that's an important piece that they came up with when Bill W. came up with it's a God of your own understanding, the way you understand God. So, and then now we're going to turn things over to this this God, and we find from Scripture and from a lot of places, but one of the things that I keep toying with, and you guys can hit me up on this or challenge me or whatever, but if there is this Almighty God, okay, and by the way, when I say if, it's for the audience, not for me, I'm convinced, but if there is an Almighty God, then that God created everything from the beginning to the end, and somehow with this power is able to see everything in between. So the beginning of Sue, the beginning of Lloyd, the end of those, the end of Scott and Jason, and the beginnings, and every little piece. And the more I get involved with scriptural learning, the more I find that is borne out as to be true. So nothing I can do was not written in some sense. And I don't mean written, with a pen and pencil, but it's in there. It's in the plan. And even though, yes, I have my free will and I do make decisions and I feel that I'm in control, it's taken me 70 years to learn I'm never in control. But anyway, that's not the point. If this is true, then even if I were to write books and I were to say, I conceived of it, I wrote it, and I consulted, I researched, and it's mine. But if what I said was true about the Almighty, then every word that was put down in there was pre-orchestrated. I just did the dance of Scott Duncan, like you do the dance of Miss Tippett, and you do the dance of Lloyd Daly. So There's your last name's blowing by the way.
I'm off of Mueller in here, and I just realized that. Thanks, Scott. Wow.
I don't really mind.
Good thing I'm not telling my gold story today. That's all I'm saying, right? And if you need to know it, you'll have to personally message me, and I'll let you know one day.
I don't think there's any anonymity in my recovery.
Okay, so listen, you get this, though, okay? Like, this is what I'm saying. This is what I believe. You don't have to believe this. So everything is there, and everything I do, you know, God knows what I'm going to do, but nobody else does, so it doesn't affect any of this. It's just that spiritual stuff that's going on up there has it all laid out, and God kind of steps outside of time, I believe, and looks at this and says, oh, yeah, Scott's there, and he's there, and she's there, and blah, 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 you know, and no sweat. So now that I accept that, and I can tell you, I've thought about it for a long time, but now in here, I've got that, and I'm comfortable with that. So things that happen to me now, like I don't sweat too much, you know, about anything, like no matter where it is, what it is. And what I'm trying to take most of all out of this is that the things that I think I want, I think I need, I think I should have, whatever they are, you know, whether desires of my heart, which I'm supposed to express, by the way, even scripturally, but I can take the heat off of that and know that whether it's going to be this way or that way or what, it's already there. Why should I worry about it? Why should I spend time on it? Why not just find the thing I love most, like this kind of thing in my life, and just go do it? Just go do it in the full knowledge that everything else is going to be given to me, added to me, whatever I need. And it's all there. So, I mean, I don't need to sweat it. Take a lot of heat off, you know. So sharing that one all-time burden of not having to worry about this guy anymore, it's huge for me. Like, forget about my wants and desires and all that. It's not important. So, anyway, give me some feedback on that way of thinking, or your own sense of, you know, turning your life and your. And by the way, the step is written to turn the life over to the care of something, care of God.
Well, it says God, right?
Okay, yeah. So it's not necessarily.
It doesn't have to be in the biblical sense, but
No, exactly. And we do learn oftentimes, even if we believe in nothing, that we hear about turning it over. You know, I mean, you just gotta move on. You gotta turn this thing over. New life, new leaf, new page.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I don't know. When I take that, I want it to go deep, and I want to just live with that and take it through all the other phases of the program. You know, but like I should do, but I want to do that, and I want that to be able to serve that way more than anything else. And I'm not really interested or worried about whether I make it to Africa next year or any of these things. These are things that, you know, Scott Duncan and his egotistical thing want to do, but I don't know if I'm meant to do that. I either will or I won't, and God already knows if I will or I won't, and if I'll do 10 more after that or none before. So, floor's open. Let's hear from you guys.
Do you want to go first? Well, I feel like you got really deep there, Scott. Right? You went really philosophical. We first started talking about step three, which I'll share on maybe later. I'll let you go on to step three. But just, you know, every time you open your mouth, my mind goes to certain areas and certain aspects. And I do a lot of reflective when you're talking. And so I'm going to get a little bit, I don't want to say churchy, but I'm just going to give you my not my opinion, my experience. And I truly believe that we are conduits, we are vessels. This is just my own belief.
Yeah.
You know, it says in the Word, in God's Word, in Scriptures, and I believe in God, and I believe in God in the biblical sense. And I know that the truth that I have read in the Word, which is Holy Spirit inspired.
Yeah.
You know, like if you were to write a book today that was a blessing to other people, that was God working through you, which is Holy Spirit inspired. Everything is breathed through the mouth of God. So,
yeah.
You know, it says, even before the foundations of the Word, my name was upon his lip, was upon his thoughts, right?
Yeah.
You know, it says in the Scriptures that I was formed in utter seclusion. You know, I come from a background where I felt unworthy and not good enough. And so when I start reading Scriptures that tells me that I'm highly thought of, that I'm highly favored, that he called me forth out of, my mom and dad got together and they did their thing and I was conceived, but I was predestined to be conceived in that moment. You know, I was predestined to be formed in my mother's womb and to be called forth. And I just truly believe in my own destiny and where I'm at today in my life. And this is not so much because I've come back from a mission trip, but I believe that God has strategically placed me in this time, in 2019, in this place, with my life experience, with me being a broken, sick drug addict, getting saved in prison. Yeah. You know, I'm with a family where some of them are believing God, but in the traditional sense, I'm in a family where some of them believe that you die and go in the ground. I have an opportunity today because God has changed me so much. I go into the rooms of recovery and I don't share about God in the biblical sense there. I kind of tread very softly. But I also, they know that I'm a Christian, and they know that I believe in God in the biblical sense. And I really believe that my job and my role and my...
mission.
I don't want to say mission. My duty is to tell others about what God has done for me. I'm to be a living example of that. It was amazing because I travel, Columbia is 4,300 miles away, and I got to share my story in a bunch halfway around the world. Listen, I made the paper of the Toronto Sun. I was famous in Toronto for being a, I don't want to swear on the air, but being a really screwed up drug addict. I made the headlines, front page of the Toronto Sun. And here I am, 4,300 miles away, sharing my story to a bunch of Colombians and getting it translated to Spanish for them to talk about what God has done. It's not by any mere coincidence that I get to do that. Why is that? Why is it when I sat in a prison cell that Jesus, I heard the story about who what Jesus could do for me, and I ran because I was sick and broken and I didn't have nowhere else to go but to him. Yeah. Why is it that I heard that message? I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. You know, but I just know that I am a vessel today. And, you know, when you start stepping in what God has called you to do, listen, I don't have a self-esteem problem anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have a self-confidence problem anymore. I don't walk around feeling unworthy that I'm a worthless piece of crap like I did for many years. I know who I am today. You know, and everything has changed and shifted within me. And you know, I was talking to Lloyd in the car. You know, the journey from the head to the heart is the longest distance, right? I know who my identity is today. I know who I am. And it doesn't matter whether what you believe in. It doesn't matter whether you appreciate my belief. Nope. I can stay confident in who I am. And I know that I'm strategically placed to do what I'm supposed to do today.
Well, let me ask you something. When you, I believe you totally. When you're in that and some of your own desires come up, and I'm not mean physical desires, maybe relationships.
Oh, God, where are you going there?
No,
okay.
No, but I know.
No.
But when you think of that, okay, and you take the position, well, you know, the perfect man or whatever is out there and for whoever.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Yeah. Okay, well, you're treading softly on thin ice here, Scott. No,
because, okay. I mean, if it's all, you know, listen, predetermined, you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
I agree, 100%. Listen to me.
So why go after that kind of stuff?
What do you mean, why go after that?
I pray.
Listen, it says in God's word that he gives you the desires of your heart, right? You seek him, and your desires become his desires, and his desires become your desires.
No,
thank
his,
you.
It's already...
I do believe, but you have to understand, for me, how do I know what God's desires and God's will? I don't know what God's will is for me, but what I do know is if I stay close to God and I'm constantly praying and in fellowship with him and in an intimate personal relationship with him, he will reveal his truth to me. You know, I left my ex 5 years ago. From the moment I left that man, God clearly spoke. He has spoken to me for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right, I know without I, you know, I don't know how to say
okay,
you
so
know
that,
when you
so
know.
That's my point. Like okay. you feel that your sense of God, who you've described aptly, has communicated to you that you will have this ideal man or whatever, you know, because you feel that way, right?
Yeah, I feel that way, and even for me to have the desire to have this. I don't want to say godly, so I'm putting a lot of pressure on the man that's to come, but I just have these ideas now today that are in line of what God's ideas. Listen, he loves me with unfailing love. Yeah. If you had your beautiful daughter, you would want her to have the best man out there. the best guy that you could possibly match her up with.
Too late, some, she's married.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, as a father who has a daughter, you will want the very, very best, and I believe that God wants that for me. And even to plant that on, listen, I went with the bikers, the tattoos, the guys that were emotionally unavailable, the guys that were pricks, can I say that on the air, that were pricks, right? That weren't the nicest guys. You know, those were the guys that I was attracted to. But today, it's not like that for me today, because I know that I'm worthy and I deserve better. And I'm going to just kind of piggyback, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about step three, right? Yep. You know, if I'm a broken, sick drug addict and I need help, and it says that lack of power is my dilemma, and I come into the rooms of recovery and they tell me that I have to believe in a power greater than myself, and maybe, just maybe, I'll stop using drink and drug and I'll get my life together. Yep. That's what they tell me in the rooms, right? Yep. And then it says in step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God. Yep. I don't have to know who God is. I don't have to define him. I just have to be willing to make a decision to turn my will and life over him. Now, listen, it's really easy to come into recovery, have track marks on your arms, have your addict suitcases, which are two green garbage bags, and not know where you're going and not knowing what's going to happen to you. It's really easy when you're desperate and broken to say, hey, God, look, I'm a screwed up drug addict. Take my life. Help me stay clean sober. Yeah. That's the easy part. Yeah. The hard part of walking this deal of recovery is the constant surrender. Listen, I have a living problem. I have a thinking problem. You know, I don't know how to run my life. I don't know how to choose men. I don't know how to be a good mother to my kids. Maybe that's why I was so pulled by these boys in Colombia. There were stages in my life that I wasn't there for my children. Maybe it's my way of, you know, paying back the debt that I didn't give to my own children. I just know on a daily basis I have to constantly not just surrender my drug addiction. I got to surrender everything to him.
That's, you know, my point.
Everything.
That's the answer. Like, it's to turn it. It's... No. If I have a desire like that, if I had a relational thing or even that, I would have to turn that over to the only source I believe can come up with the answer anyway, as well as all the good things and the bad things. So, you know, and by doing that, by relinquishing, and your word surrender is even better, by surrendering these things, turning them over to my sense of the Almighty, then I'm done.
Listen, I'm weak in my natural self. I'm weak in my natural self.
You're powerful in your natural self because you allow God to work through you.
Right. Listen, single 5 years. Listen, where's the wood? Give me a piece of wood. I'm going to knock on a piece of wood. Single for 5 years. That's a long time for me to, and you know, not that the people in the air need to know this, but to be absent and not be intimate with another man. Like, come on. That's unfathomed for somebody like me where I come from. But I made the decision to be really obedient to God. You know, I really find that it's a secret part of me, right? Yeah. How is it that I've made... Listen, my flesh... Trust me.
No, we don't need to hear about that.
My flesh is weak. Listen, my eyes are weak. I see... Listen, I like men. That's just the way... I'm attracted to the... I see a good-looking guy. I said in Columbia... None of the men were overly good-looking in Columbia, but there was a little whiplash thing going on, right? Yeah. You know, like, just can't help it. That's who I am, right? It's just, it's a natural part of me being a woman that God put in me, but I have to have some restraint around that, right? Because everything that I want is not necessarily good for me.
Exactly.
And I want a lot of things that are not good for me, and they lead me down a path that end up hurting me and hurting others, and I don't want to do that today.
We got it. Lloyd, where are you in this mess?
What do you mean? This mess is cleaning up as we go along.
Well, with the last 2.5 minutes that Sue's left me with, I just want to say that, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. And, you know, I grew up knowing my mom for about 6 to 8 years. And we went to church. And I knew a God. And when I decided to get clean... I ended up actually praying to God in a different sense to relieve me of my addiction.
Dude, and hang on a second. Well, that's a big span there. Okay, you're 8 years old, now you're 50 or whatever.
No, I said I lived with my mom for
years. But I just wanted, for the audience's sake, at eight, you're left in Jamaica and your mom goes away.
At eight, I came to Canada at 8 years old.
Canada.
Yeah, came to Canada at 8 years old. That's when I met my mom at the airport.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So you're abandoned at almost at birth or infant kind of thing, and then at eight, you see your mom.
Yeah.
You hang with your mom for...
another 8 years, I think it was.
And you're booted again.
Before I'm kicked out, yeah.
So, and then you go on and you carry on with your drugs, and now you come to the place... long, long time later, after a full career, retired from making money, living well, sort of, you know, that way. Now go on there. I just wanted them to get a look at you and what you've lived, and tell them who your mother is.
Well, my mom is a Pentecostal minister, even today. But wow. I just couldn't catch on to what she was trying to tell me, and because I had another sense of God and such forth. And I remember I was in a hotel room and I was partying, and I just had enough. I just had enough, and I prayed to God to relieve me of that addiction. And it was something else, because I know it wasn't me or myself that ended up walking out of that hotel room. I know it was a higher power that came in and assisted me in removing myself from the table. And like I said before, the 30 people that are around the table are dead now. You know, so I was lucky to walk out of that room. And it wasn't just me, myself, getting up and walking out. I believe that there was a higher power. There was, God intervened and removed me from the table for some reason. Mm. And I think this is the reason to give back, to be an example. Yeah.
And the table wasn't empty, right?
No, the table was not
that?
Empty.
You were telling me that on the way up that you had $800 and dope and beer. I wouldn't have waited until the $800 was
most
gone.
Most people would have.
100%, right? So that, I call what happened is definitely amazing grace and divine intervention.
Yeah, and that's great testimony, right. And that's the key, you know? Like, we don't have to describe this God.
Yeah, we don't have to
intimate.
Understand, yeah.
You know, something came to you, and you knew that, you know, you couldn't do it. And the other
I walked out of the door, and I, out of the hotel room, and I closed the door, and I'm thinking, okay, well, what did I just do now?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
darn it.
Everything is on that side, and I'm on this side, and,
yeah.
You know, and that was a godly intervention, yeah. For sure.
And mm-hmm. You've kept sure. That thing. You know, like, that's probably the rarest
that's
part.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the car, right? I said most people, because, you know, that's not my experience. No. I came in recovery, and I've had multiple years of recovery and gone back out several times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my experience has not been somebody to come into the rooms of recovery and stop and never use again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was telling him that it's a rarity. He goes, really? I said, yes, yeah, stick around.
Yeah.
Most people that have multiple years of recovery, they attempted it for 3, 4, 5, 10 years. And some people that get clean and stay clean for many years that go back out, they don't end up coming back in the room. So really,
no.
We are miracles if we're here, right?
That's right.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I can't relate to using over and over and over, going out, coming in, going out.
Well,
you're lucky.
You are very lucky.
For that part.
It is, yeah.
That the urge is really...
The obsession is
gone. It's gone.
Yeah, that's a miracle. Absolute miracle.
Yeah.
Because
hang on to the miracles, and we'll let our man play a song, probably. Gee, what do you want to do with us here? We're out of control.
Sue is anyways. Everybody else is in control.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think it is time for a song, and here's one. I think it should be fitting for this show. It's called "Rise Up" by the Parachute Club. Classic one for you. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.